This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My dearest sisters and brothers, we are now on module 1B and we're still talking about Asma bint Abu Bakr, mashallah tabarakallah, who's an amazing, amazing sahabiyat, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we'll get started. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما آمين. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most magnificent, all praises due to Allah, Lord of the universe. We praise Him and we seek His help and His forgiveness and we seek His protection from the cursed Satan. Whomever Allah guides will never be misguided, and whomever He allows to be misguided will never be guided. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is one alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His servant and messenger. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and the righteous who follow them until the day of judgment. Ameen, 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 ameen. All right, bismillah, let's get started. Now, we know that Asma was a person of great sensitivity and devotion. She and her husband both worked extremely hard together until their situation of poverty gradually changed. At times, however, Az-Zubayr treated her harshly. Once she went to her father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and she complained to him about this, and this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq's reply to her. He said, "My daughter, have sabr, patience. For if a woman has a righteous husband, and he dies, and she does not marry after him, they'll be brought together again in paradise." Az-Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, eventually became one of the richest men amongst the Sahaba, but Asma did not allow this to corrupt her principles. Her son once set her an elegant dress from Iraq, made of fine and costly material. Asma, by this time, was blind. She felt the material and said, "It's awful, take it back to him." And this was her son, Al-Mundahir. Al-Mundahir, it wasn't her other son. This was Al-Mundahir. And so she said, "It's awful, take it back to him." Al-Mundahir was upset and said, "Mother, it was not transparent." "It may not be transparent," she retorted, "but it's too tight fitting and shows the contours of the body." Now Al-Mundahir bought another dress that met with her approval and she accepted it. If the above incident and aspect of Asma's life may easily be forgot, then her final meeting with her son Abdullah must remain one of the most unforgettable moments in the early Muslim history. At that meeting, she demonstrated the keenness of her intelligence, her resoluteness, and the strength of her faith. Abdullah was running for the Khalifate. Okay, again, Abdullah was in the running for the Khalifate after the death of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, the Hijaz, in Egypt, Iraq, Khorasan, and much of Syria. They were favorable to him, and they acknowledged him as the Khalifate. Now, the Umayyads, however, they continued to contest the Khalifate and to field a massive army under the command of Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Relentless battles were fought between the two sides, during which Abdullah ibn Zubayr displayed great acts of courage and heroism. Many of his supporters, however, could not withstand the continuous strain of battle and gradually began to desert him. Finally, he sought refuge in the sacred mosque at Mecca. It was then that he went to his mother, who was now a blind old woman, and he said, "Peace be upon you, mother, and the mercy and blessings of Allah." "Unto you be peace, Abdullah," she replied. "What is it that brings you here at this hour, while boulders from Hajjaj's capitulates are raining down on soldiers in the Haram and shaking the houses of Mecca?" "I came to seek your advice," he said. "To seek my advice," she said in astonishment. "About what?" "The people have deserted me out of fear of Hajjaj or being tempted by what he has to offer. Even my children, my family have left me. There's only a small group of men with me now, and however strong and steadfast they can only resist for an hour or two more. Messengers of the Banu Umayyads are now negotiating with me, offering to give me whatever worldly possessions I want, should I lay down my arms and swear allegiance to Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. What do you think?" Raising her voice, she replied, "It's your affair, Abdullah, and you know yourself better. If, however, you think that you're right and you're standing up for the truth, then persevere and fight on as your companions who were killed under your flag, and show perseverance. If, however, you desire the world, what a miserable wretch you are. You would have destroyed yourself and you would have destroyed your men. But I will be killed today. There's no doubt about it. That is better for you than you should surrender yourself to Hajjaj voluntarily, and that the minions of Banu Umayyah should play with your head. I do not fear death. I'm only afraid that they will mutilate me. There is nothing after death that man should be afraid of. Skinning does not cause any pain to be slaughtered to the slaughtered of the sheep. Abdullah's face beamed as he said, "What a blessed mother! Blessed be your noble qualities. I've come to you at this hour to hear what I've heard. God knows that I have not weakened or despaired. He is a witness over me that I have not stood up for what I have out of this love for this world and the attractions, but only out of anger for the sake of God. His limits have transgressed. Here I am. I'm going to what is pleasing to you. So if I'm killed, do not grieve for me and commend me to God. I shall grieve for you," she said, the aging but resolute Asma, "only if you are killed in vain in unjust cause. Be assured that your son has not supported an unjust cause, nor committed any detestable deed, nor done any injustice to a Muslim or a Dhimmi, a non-Muslim, under the protection of the Islamic government, upon whom taxes are levied, and that there is nothing better in the sight than the pleasure of Allah, the Mighty, the Great. I do not say this to exonerate myself. Allah knows that I've only said it to make your heart firm and steadfast. Praise be to Allah who has made you act according to what He likes and according to what I like. Come close to me, my son, that I may smell and feel your body, for this might be the last meeting with you." Abdullah knelt before her. She hugged him, smothered his head, his face and his neck with kisses. Her hands began to squeeze his body when suddenly she withdrew them and asked, "What is it that you're wearing, Abdullah?" "This is my armor plate. This, my son, is not the dress of the one who desires martyrdom. Take it off. That will make your movements lighter and quicker. Wear instead a sirwal, a long undergarment, so that if you're killed, your outer private parts will not be exposed." Abdullah took off his armor plate and he put on the sirwal. As he left for the haram, the holy sanctuary, the near land of the Kaaba, to join the fighting, he said, "My mother, don't deprive me of your dua." Raising her hands to heaven, she said, "O Allah, have mercy on his staying up for long hours and his loud crying in the darkness of the night while people slept. O Allah, have mercy on his hunger and his thirst, on his journeys from Medina and Mecca while he fasted. O Allah, bless his righteousness to his mother and his father. O Allah, I commend him to your cause and I'm pleased with whatever you decree for him. And grant for me his sake the reward of those who are patient and who persevere." By sunset, Abdullah was dead. Just over 10 days later, his mother joined him. She was 100 years old. However, age had not blunted the keenness of her mind. This was Asma bint Abi Bakr. SubhanAllah, my dear sisters and brothers, this was her strength. This was who she was. And SubhanAllah, she had an amazing iman, and how she was connected to Allah SubhanAllah. She had habits of long salahs. Asma always prayed to Allah SubhanAllah with full concentration. Her husband Zubayr ibn Awam radiallahu anhu related that when he came home one day, he saw Asma radiallahu anhu, she was praying and she was crying, and she kept on repeating these words from the Quran again and again. "But Allah has been gracious to us and has saved us from the torment of the fire." Surah Tur, ayah number 27. When Zubayr saw her loss in her prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left. He left the house and he went to the market. When he radiallahu anhu came back much later, he found her still lost in her salah. SubhanAllah, where are we with our salahs? Do we pray like this? Do we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this? Do we focus like this? And this is how she was. This is how her salahs were. And subhanAllah, you know, Asma radiallahu anha had an amazing sharp memory, mashallah tabarakallah. Like her sister Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, if she heard anything, even once, she would never forget it. And like Aisha and Salama and Asma bint Yazid, Asma radiallahu anha had many hadiths attributed to her. Many companions and tabi'eens would come to her for guidance and verifications of hadith, subhanAllah. And I mean, her bravery with the death of her son, I think, was the most amazing thing to me. And then obviously her bravery to stand up in front of Hajjaj ibn, you know, Yusuf the tyrant, as well as her bravery standing up in front of, you know, Abu Jahl. Two tyrants she stood up in front of, subhanAllah. It's amazing. And I talk about these two stories at a different time, so I won't bring them up now again, but it's amazing. And then obviously she was also in the battle. She was in the battle of Yarmouk, and she was regarded as one of the most, you know, this was the battle which the Muslims were hugely outnumbered by Romans. And because Asma and other Sahabiyats were there, the women were there, and the young boys were there, they were able, by with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, all by the blessings and the help of Allah, they were able to drive the Roman Empire out of Syria. Asma took part in this battle, and she fought bravely amongst them, you know, with the Muslim warriors, mashallah, tabarakallah. Now, her death, when she passed away in Mecca, in 73 AH after Hijrah, a few days after she buried her son, she was almost 100 years old, my dear sisters and brothers. She was almost 100 years old. But even at her old age, she had a full set of teeth and a sharp memory. Amazingly intelligent. SubhanAllah. And honestly, like, you know, where are we today with this? Do we take care of our teeth properly? Do we take care of our mind properly? And one of the reasons that Sahaba and the Sahabiyat had sharp memory, my dear sisters and brothers, was because they were always reading the Quran, and they were connected to Allah, and they were reading, you know, the books of the deen, and they were always trying to do good deeds, and they were looking at the hereafter way more than this dunya. And this is how they had that, this connection, subhanAllah. So I'm going to ask you guys now, like, subhanAllah, where are we with this? Where are we with this? Are we of those people that can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that? So if we were to live at 100, we are strong and we're still going and we're still walking and we're doing the best. Yes, Allah took her eyesight away, but it didn't take her mind away. And subhanAllah, so long as we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have our mind, then anything else can be achieved. And we ask Allah to make us sharp and intelligent and connected to Him, and make our iman strong, and let us have a good death. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Okay, with that being said, this is the story of Asma radiallahu anha in a nutshell, and 1A and 1B. This was actually 1B. So 1A and 1B is done. Module 1 is done. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. How perfect you are, O Allah, and I praise you. None has a right to be worshipped except you. I seek your forgiveness and turn in repentance to you.